Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, November the 14th. Coming up, dozens of people say they're thousands of pounds out of pocket after a Kent company stopped trading. Find out which TV star is helping to rebuild his local gym in Kent. And you can hear from the Gillingham boss ahead of this weekend's game. But first, there'll be disruption to NHS services in Kent from today as resident doctors begin a five-day strike. They were previously known as junior doctors and are involved in the day-to-day running of hospitals. Union bosses are in a row with the government over pay. Well, I've been chatting to Dr. Kate Langford, who's the Chief Medical Officer for NHS Kent and Medway.
The first thing I want to say is that we're working really hard to make sure that it won't impact on the most urgent and emergency care. So we've diverted all the resources to make sure that people with the most life-threatening needs will still get the care they need. And that's a really important message for your listeners to say, if you have something acutely wrong today, come forward as usual. And on top of that, we will also be trying to keep as much of the planned care going as we can, because we don't underestimate how very disruptive and upsetting it is for people to have, for example, an outpatient appointment cancelled or maybe an operation cancelled. So again, the majority of that we are planning to be able to still carry out. So if you do have an appointment during one of the days of the industrial action, unless you've been specifically told otherwise, you should still go for that appointment.
Kate, would you be able to explain the role that resident doctors have? Because we perhaps hear this phrase and we know what our GP does, but maybe we're not too sure the role of a resident doctor. Can you just explain what they do and where they fit within the NHS?
Yeah, so resident doctors are doctors taking part in their training to become either a fully qualified GP or a fully qualified consultant. And as such, they work as part of the team. So they are people often with a lot of years of experience who provide some of the care in a hospital, typically under the direction of a consultant. So they are pairs of hands, very skilled pairs of hands, who are part of the care team around a patient. So it means that in effect, the number of doctors available to care for patients is less than it would have been, although the most senior and experienced doctors are still there and working.
Obviously, you're given a fair bit of lead up time before this industrial action comes into force. Do you know this by all means isn't the first round of industrial action? So do you have kind of now quite a set plan in place as to what to do to mitigate it?
Yeah. So regrettably, we have got very good at that planning and keeping the impact on patients as small as possible. So, yes, we have become very good at working out how we prioritise the right areas. The difficulty is that we don't know until any given day of the strike which doctors are choosing to take action on that day, which means that we can never be totally confident of how many doctors will be available on any given day. But we do, of course, know that we will have those most senior and experienced doctors available.
Staying with health news, and pregnant women in Kent are being urged to get a vaccination for RSV to help protect their newborn this winter. It's as stats show 6 in 10 babies will contract the respiratory virus before their first birthday. Last year, more than 53,000 youngsters ended up being admitted to hospital. TV's Dr. Ranch, who's from Medway, has been giving us some advice.
Hospitalisations for RSV and flu cases, the latest data shown, have started to go up since October, and they are already higher than previous years. We have huge numbers of children going to their GPs or to hospitals with winter illnesses. It creates a huge burden on the NHS. Right, that is what we're there for, but what we're trying to do is trying to see the people who really, really need us. And all of these winter illnesses, they are expensive to treat. Hospital care for children under 5 with RSV costs the NHS about £93 million a year. So it has a system burden, but what I'm more interested in is the burden that it has on the individual and their family. These illnesses, for the vast majority of kids, will be mild and they will get over them. But sometimes they can be serious, they can lead to hospitalisation, especially if you're premature, or if you're very, very young, or if you've got a long-term health problem. And sadly, sometimes it can cause death. And that's a real reality of these things. It is relatively rare, fortunately, but it is something that we are always trying to prevent. And that's why I encourage people to be as prepared as you possibly can be. And that preparation starts during pregnancy sometimes.
Yeah, that's quite a scary thought, isn't it? That it can be that serious. And perhaps we should just mention specifically about premature babies. Is that literally because they haven't developed as much as a full-term baby, so it's harder for their lungs to deal with things like this?
Lots of reasons why premature babies in particular are vulnerable. Firstly, their immune systems aren't as well developed and aren't as able to cope with illnesses that they might encounter. Secondly, their organs aren't as strong or as developed as they might be. So, for instance, their lungs may not be as strong as it would be for a full-term baby. We know that premature babies are more likely to end up in hospital and end up more poorly because of conditions like RSV. And that's why we have vaccination programs specifically targeting those vulnerable individuals as well. But any parent that's out there who has a baby that's born prematurely, I would just urge them to be aware of this and protect yourselves and your babies as much as you can.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man in his 20s has died in hospital following a crash on the M20. He was driving a car that was reportedly going the wrong way and collided with a van on the coastbound stretch near Maidstone on Wednesday night. The van driver suffered minor injuries and investigations ongoing. A man who knocked down and killed a pedestrian on the M20 has been told he'll spend more than 9 years in prison. The 71-year-old victim had got out of his vehicle on the hard shoulder after breaking down near Charing in February. A court heard Ionut Bajan's box van was travelling at speed. The 23-year-old from Hereford has also been using WhatsApp moments before the crash. A Folkestone man who tried to meet a teenage boy to abuse them has been jailed. Stephen Sussums targeted his victim through social media in July and sent messages through platforms including Snapchat. The 62-year-old from Bigginswood Road was arrested while waiting for the child. He's been locked up for 2.5 years. Now, Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner says his priorities until 2028 remain the same, despite being told his role is being scrapped. The government say getting rid of PCCs across England and Wales will save money, which will be invested into neighbourhood policing. Matthew Scott's been in the job here in Kent since first being elected in 2016. His work has been highlighted in the Commons by Herne Bay and Sandwich MP Sir Roger Gale, who also asked this.
I want to know in Kent, which at the moment has a basket case county council, but is likely to have three unitary authorities and no mayor, who is going to replace our excellent police and crime commissioner, and how will they do the job?
And he got this response from Police Minister Sarah Jones.
He asks, and I pay tribute to his Police and Crime Commissioner, Matthew Scott, he asks what the arrangements will be where there isn't a mayor. The higher tier authority leaders will provide the board and there will be a paid person who is the police and crime lead. In some cases, it may be that that is the Police and Crime Commissioner if local authorities make that decision, but it will be for local authorities leaders in that board to make the decision, and that is how the funding model will work where there aren't mayors.
Kent Online reports.
A weather warning for heavy rain has come into force in Kent as Storm Claudia hits the UK. The yellow alert covers the northern part of the county and lasts until 6 a.m. tomorrow. The Met Office says downpours could lead to some flooding and travel disruption. Two teenage brothers who left a man with multiple injuries after an attack in an alleyway in Lydd have avoided jail. Oscar and Cyril Ross were aged just 15 and 18 when they carried out the brutal assault near Copperfields in August 2023. The boys, who are now 18 and 20 and from Romney Road, have been ordered to do unpaid work and pay £500 each as part of their community sentences. 13 people have been arrested on suspicion of being illegal workers after raids at a restaurant chain in Kent. They were detained at five sites operated by Turkish restaurant Aspendos. We're told the raids were carried out as part of a joint operation involving the Home Office and Kent Police. Now, next on the podcast, dozens of people have been left thousands of pounds out of pocket after a shed company in Lenham suddenly shut down. Some have staged a protest outside Sheds and Shelters Limited's headquarters on Ashford Road, demanding answers from the company. Our reporter Sean McPolin has been covering this story and joins me now on the podcast. Sean, thanks ever so much for being on this episode. Can you tell us a bit about the company then and what they provided?
So Sheds and Shelters Limited is a company that's based in Lenham. They provide people with outbuildings, garden rooms, any sort of building that can go outside, and they would go to the person's house after receiving their materials and they'd put the building up for them.
And what have customers been telling you?
But in recent months, they've had a lot of criticism from customers who say they've either had delays in getting the product to them, the product hasn't arrived, or the product's arrived with the wrong parts. Some have also said that despite having the products turn up and the company coming to put the building up, it's just not been done to a very high standard. And this is all after spending thousands and thousands of pounds.
And Sean, what have the company had to say?
So the company has since come out and apologised for any upset or anger caused to the customers, basically citing financial struggles as the reason that they've had to go under and close. They said they're working with the insolvency company to try and rectify any of the problems that have been caused.
Sean, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
A hearing's been told a 20-year-old man died after taking MDMA at a music festival in Margate. Regan Baxter from Chattenden near Rochester went to the Worried About Henry gig at Dreamland in June. He was taken to hospital just 90 minutes after the event started and passed away the same evening. Details have been revealed at an inquest. A veterans fundraising organisation based in Kent has been sentenced for carrying out illegal street collections for a second time. We Are Blighty didn't have the correct licence to take money from people at various locations in London. The company, which is based in Broadstairs, has been ordered to pay more than £3,000 in fines and legal costs. Three people have been charged as part of a crackdown on antisocial behaviour in Ramsgate. A 37-year-old woman and two men in their 40s are accused of breaching a community protection notice, which was put in place following nuisance behaviour in the town centre. Several new councillors have been chosen to be part of the governing authority for Kent's fire service. Reform UK bosses at the county council had faced criticism after key members were removed from the group following a leaked video of a heated council meeting. There were concerns it could put public safety at risk, as the authority is responsible for the provision of fire and rescue services. Well, we're now told a thorough interview process has been carried out to select the most suitable new members. A care home in Maidstone that was placed into special measures has now been rated good following an inspection. A report revealed seven breaches of regulation at Cedardale residential home in September last year. The Care Quality Commission says significant improvements have now been made. Now, Legend from Gladiators is going to help bring part of an abandoned sports centre in Kent back to life. Matt Morsier, who lives in Hythe, has revealed plans to transform the gym at Folkestone Sports Centre. He's joined forces with the Sports Trust, who've taken over the venue, which suddenly closed last year. And Matt's shared a video on his YouTube channel.
The end goal would be, it's a gym for anyone, but it's like also a serious gym. Do you know what I mean? So if you're an actual lifter or an athlete, aspiring athlete, you can come and train here and we've got everything you need. Do you know what I mean? No one's like treading on anyone's toes. So if you're like a lifter, you've got your space where you can train. If you are a mum that's got a spare half an hour that wants to come in and jump on the bike or whatever, you have your area where you can train. Do you know what I mean? Everyone kind of interacts, but no one is kind of getting in anyone's way or killing the vibe.
Staying with entertainment news, and Ella Eyre has been telling our sister radio station KMFM how good it feels to be back with new music 10 years after her debut album. Everything in Time is a self-curated album that sees a step into soul, R&B and retro funk. The Came Here for Love singer has been on the hit list with Jack ahead of its release later this month.
I'm grateful to be back. I'm grateful for the reception so far, and it is really exciting to be independent and doing it on my own terms and being able to share my voice with people in a way that feels authentic to me, and I'm loving the response. It's amazing.
Oh, we're so happy. Honestly, we played your track Hell Yeah for the first time maybe last week, 2 weeks ago, and I was sitting in the studio like, this is amazing. Like, this is what we wanted. Because, I mean, you're stacked with bangers when you are like the queen of summer anthems. So how did it come about? How did going independent kind of come into your brain? What was the thought process? Because as you say, it's been 10 years since Feline, and now we're here and we are completely somewhere else in brand new space. What's happened?
Well, I mean, what happened is Feline came out 10 years ago. I did a lot of collabs, dance collabs in particular, with like Sagala and Rudimental and other artists as well. And I think what happened really is that when I first started releasing music, streaming was very, very new. And so the major labels that I was signed to weren't really interested in doing projects, you know, bodies of work anymore, because way that people were digesting music was changing. But it kind of came about in 2020 when I had vocal surgery. I wasn't able to speak for a month, and then I was doing rehab for 6 months. And so it was when my voice essentially got taken away from me, and I had a really big lesson learned. But I was like, if I'm ever going to be on a stage again, if I'm ever going to sing, I want it to be on my terms. I want to be making music that I love. And I don't want to be dictated to by major labels' systems. So I went at it alone, and this is my best attempt.
Wow. I didn't know you had vocal surgery. I knew that Jess Glynn had vocal surgery in her career. I didn't know that you had vocal surgery. What?
Yeah. Well, when I first came about, it was quite a taboo subject. But actually, you'll find that a lot of commercial artists have had vocal issues and vocal surgeries. And back in the day, you wouldn't talk about it because you'd be worried about promoters not booking you because you're not reliable. But I think it's a very difficult space to be in, to not be honest about what you're going through and experiencing. Mm. And I have a naturally husky voice. It's naturally unique. And unfortunately, that does come with its challenges. But it's also a blessing at the same time. So I feel like it was a blessing and a curse because I learned a lot. I've got an amazing team around me now to make sure that I'm able to do my shows effectively. Mm. And now I feel like happier for it.
And finally, an update on a story from yesterday's episode. A former student at the University of Kent has won a prestigious TikTok award. Joy Anokuru covers all things entertainment, celebrity news and trending topics in her viral videos shared with her 45,000 followers. The 27-year-old took home the Rising Star Prize at last night's ceremony.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and Gillingham welcome Crawley Town to Priestfield in League Two this weekend. They'll be hoping to make it back-to-back wins after a 1-0 victory over Bristol Rovers last Saturday. The Gills are currently seventh in the table, while the visitors are 19th. Kickoff's going to be at the later time of 5:30 as the game is on telly. Here's Gills manager Gareth Ainsworth.
It's a different kickoff, which obviously is something strange on a Saturday and all, but I think the lads are all professionals. They'll just probably put back their pre-match couple of hours and get a bit of a better sleep. I think nobody will be rushing around there Saturday morning. But it's going to be a tough game. You know, they're a decent side. We've watched them. Obviously, Scotland's, he's got some real good success in the past at Crawley. They've had a poor start, but I think they've found some form now, and it's fair to say that I think they're going to be a tough opposition on Saturday here at Priestfield.
A few teams have come here and decided just to kind of, not part of the bus, but kind of invite the pressure. It's not really a Scott Lindsay approach, is it? Are you expecting them to come at us? And it might be a slightly different game to what other opposition has been here at Priestfield.
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of respect off teams, and they've come here a bit wary because we've started the season so well. But I think Scott is somebody who'll come at you, you know, he will. His teams play his style of football. They want to get at you. You know, he's got a youngish side, full of energy, athleticism. We've got to be at our best, you know, and again, we've trained this last couple of days with them in mind and having a look at what shape potentially we could employ to, first of all, stop Crawley and what they threat, but also what breaks them down, what can we do to score goals against them, you know, and that's my job as a manager. But, no, really pleased, and I want to back up the result from last week at Bristol. You know, it'll be nice, back-to-back's always good in the league, but in no way or shape or form am I thinking this is going to be an easy game. It'll be a tough game. There's a little bit extra on it, you know, with a few of our staff came from Crawley and Scott Lindsay's local to the area, and there's a bit of a mix up in there. So it's quite a localish derby as well. So it's going to be tough, yeah, without a doubt. But I believe in my boys. I think we've got a great spirit amongst us. I think we've got some real good match winners, and we're solid. You know, defensively, I'm very proud of where we are. But you know, it's another game. There's no easy games in this league.
You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online, and we'll have full reaction to the result in Monday's episode of the podcast. Rugby, and Kent Spennell and Alex Mitchell are in action for England tomorrow. They're taking on New Zealand at Twickenham. England haven't beaten the All Blacks at home for 13 years. Kickoff is at 3:10. Back to football. London City Lionesses are in action away from home on Sunday. The side who train in Aylesford are travelling to take on Aston Villa in the WSL. Hotel. Kick-off with that is at midday. And an event's being held in Maidstone this weekend aimed at providing more support for visually impaired runners. Specially trained guides will be available to those who are blind or partially sighted at the park run at Moat Park. Rob Dunnell is chair of Maidstone Harriers, which is behind the idea.
It's an event we thought about doing to provide some support to visually impaired runners in the community. For a while now, as a club, we've had guide runners. We've been training up guide runners to help visually impaired runners to be able to, you know, go outside and move away from the treadmill or the gym, and be able to actually go outside and run in the fresh air. And so after a period of time, we decided that actually it'd be quite nice to be able to help out people who come to parkrun or who would like to come to parkrun. So we contacted the run director for parkrun in Moat Park, and she thought it was a great idea. So we're going to go along. I think there's about 8 or 10 guide runners from the Harriers. At the moment, we've got about 6 visually impaired runners coming along. Would love to have some more coming along too, to see what it's all about and where they can get to do something different.
So this kind of growing number of visually impaired people wanting to go out for a run, do you think that's just more people kind of who have been perhaps just sticking to the gym before, but now actually they can see that with a guide runner, they can go out on the streets?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a couple of members, visually impaired members, who I think historically that's all they've been comfortable with doing is running on a treadmill. But this gives them the opportunity to venture out, to feel safe, to feel supported out and about on pavements or around the park. And obviously park run's a great opportunity for that to be done in a safe environment and with other people.
And at the event on Saturday as well, am I right in thinking you're kind of trying to encourage runners to maybe think about becoming a guide runner to help other visually impaired athletes?
Yeah, I mean, it started with 1 or 2 people in the club. We then organised a guide running training session at our clubhouse. So there was obviously quite a few people who within the club who wanted to get involved and help out. But we've also been approached by other people from other places that sort of have heard about the event and want to come down and help as well, which is great. So if we can get more people to be trained, then hopefully that can give more people the opportunity to go out and run outside.
What's the process like, and what does it take to become a guide runner?
It's fairly straightforward. It's a sort of a 2-hour session where I think we talk about the logistics of taking somebody outside who can't see or has limitations on their vision. So a lot of it is sort of theory to start with. And then we went outside and practiced. So obviously there was about 10 of us when we did it. And we were running around a car park with blindfolds on, practicing to get it, to see what it feels like to actually be guided, but also to guide somebody who you know, in a normal life can see, but obviously in this situation couldn't. And so it kind of gives you, it really shows you how much we rely on our vision and how much somebody who obviously can't see or can't see everything relies on somebody to guide them and give them lots of instructions about where to go and what's coming up in the footpath ahead.
Thanks ever so much to Rob for chatting to us. They're hoping to get more runners to consider signing up. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker and head to the What's On pages for details of everything going on in the county. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.